Welcome back. Top of the second hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast this Thursday, June 21st, 2018. First day of summer. Beware of bad guy nonsense, by the way. Again, the solstices are, you know, one of those times that are notorious for bad guy folly. Anyway, I want to put a couple of pieces together here. So I want to give you a clip from TrueStream Media's Bilderberg and the Digital New World Order and where we're at right now in that scenario. And then the companion video by Really Graceful, YouTube channel published 2 days ago, What the Media Won't Tell You About China. So here's the first segment, the clip from TrueStream Media, Aaron and Melissa Dykes, Bilderberg and the Digital New World Order. Go ahead, please.
They've also been meeting. Italian companies are talking about playing a major role in the areas of robotics and information technology. They've been meeting with Saudi Arabia. You have all kinds of executives from American companies, major international companies that are meeting. And Russia is investing billions of dollars in NEOM. Billions. And the Russian foreign minister has been meeting with his Saudi counterpart over the last several years as well. And they're talking about Moscow finally fulfilling its envisioned 21st century geostratic role in Eurasia. So they're linking all these things together. And on top of that, you have MIT's Media Lab being represented at Bilderberg this year. And MIT just signed a partnership with the NEOM project. And that was just announced. Actually, that was just announced a few months ago. In addition to the MIT AI ethics guy that's at Bilderberg this year, you also have this MIT Media Lab, and they're focused on all kinds of stuff, as you can clearly see here. Not just things like personal robots and things like that, but they're also focusing on things like neurobiology, emotive computing, hyper-instruments, etc.
I mean, this is one of the places that it's evident that in spite of the rhetoric of all the conflicts between the world and infrastructure to actually integrate and unify the world, everyone is a participant. Money has been invested from across the globe, including the U.S., including Russia, including China, in a world that needs new trains and new cities and new places to go, new ways to get there, new types of air travel, an infrastructure upgrade to actually integrate the world. It's happening. And if you look behind the scenes just a little bit at the nitty-gritty, it's being put together right now, and the problems surrounding it and the controversies are even being discussed inside the Bilderberg meeting room because it's reflected in some of their attendees, such as the Latvia Railroad person.
So this isn't going to just be your 21st century smart city with all the tracking and tracing and chipping and all of that kind of stuff totally going on built in from the ground up. But this is going to be a global hub that, like I said, they plan it to connect Asia, Europe, and Africa together. But they're even talking about how there's a proposal on the table right now creating a joint infrastructure project that's between Israel, Jordan, Egypt, and Saudi Arabia to build an airport there with four terminals that would allow passengers to disembark and travel to any of those four countries from one spot. So Israel and Saudi Arabia, not enemies. They may look like it somehow on the world stage. It may look like it's the Middle Eastern bloc versus Israel, but it's not. It's clearly not, okay? And Israel and Russia have been really good friends in Syria. That's on record behind the scenes, too. So it's kind of like this war is superficially going on in Syria and the Middle East destabilization stuff. But really what that is, what you're actually looking at, what it appears to me just from looking at this, is that's the necessary thing they have to do to restructure and reorganize this whole thing the way they want it so they can run this new, smart, globally interconnected world they're going to bring about.
It's kind of interesting, actually, because I found out about this project through the Bilderberg list for 2018, which we check every year, and I've looked at the section on the website called Background, where they show you who's on the steering committee, and they have Klaus Kleinfeld right there, again, the guy who used to head Alcoa and Siemens. Look at the past list, he's there. This year, he's listed as the CEO of NEOM. That's on the steering committee. But when you go to the latest meetings, click on 2018, and go to participants, you no longer find Klaus Kleinfeld between Henry Kissinger and Klaus Knott, even though I printed this list out days ago and I'm looking at the physical copy here and it's got Klaus Kleinfeld of Neom on the list. Makes me wonder if something isn't really sensitive about this huge mega project that's going on. Kind of strange.
And we've talked about this with you guys in previous videos we've done on smart cities, such as Magdar and other projects. And the future they're talking about, no, there will be literally no privacy. You will have a...
So there you go. There's the excerpt. And obviously much more to listen to. We'll embed the video in the archives. You can watch it. Obviously you can go to YouTube and watch it now. But there's a lot in there. And so I think that's a good primer for those who may not really understand the nuances, I guess. You know, we hear about the conflict in Syria. We hear that the U.S. and Russia are sort of adversaries and that old Machiavellian nonsense about the enemy of my enemy is my friend crap. And but really, as you heard Melissa Dykes point out, that's all just theater. And everyone's been cooperating behind the scenes. Why? And again, everything in this discussion is ties into the new Silk Road route. Everything is along that route. And so Neom, the $500 billion port city, is, you know, going to be this shining city in the sand, a sort of one of the big flagship pilot smart cities, and everyone's involved. I mean, you hear it. Bilderberg is talking about it. You have all of the stuff that's going on now. There's the FII, the Future Investment Initiative, and Hanson Robotics and a robot receiving citizenship when, you know, women, we'll have to do something about that. You know, robots can drive, but women can't. Oh, now women can drive in Saudi Arabia, which is weird. I mean, it's just astonishing to think that, you know, again, the UN Human Rights Council has deemed Israel and Saudi Arabia the two worst human rights violators on the planet, and yet they're our dearest allies in the region. They're cooperating behind the scenes, though there's a theatrical, orchestrated so-called conflict. And again, you know, Russia and United States, same thing. You have this specious conflict that's being perpetrated in the mainstream press. And meanwhile, this is all happening behind the scenes, but sort of right out in the open. It's not even a secret. And of course, as Aaron and Melissa do, you know, in their customary fashion, it's all documented. So they refer to the articles and things that corroborate what they're talking about. So anyway, there's more to watch in that video, but I want to get to the next one as a sort of companion video. Again, this is from the Really Graceful YouTube channel published 2 days ago, What the Media Won't Tell You About China. And so she asks the rhetorical questions. Is China fighting the new world order? Are they forging their own world order? Or is China just another actor on the global stage? It was only 20 years ago, right, that China ceased to be an extension of the British Empire, or did it? Anyway, I want to give you a little bit of this video. If that's ready, let's go ahead with that one too, please.
Being one of the ancient civilizations along with Babylon, Maya, and Egypt, Its history is riddled with the rise and fall of competing powers. Strict adherence to the ways of old, marked by revolution and revolt to bring in the new. And recently, a century of shame and humiliation. But crafted from the rubble of a broken society, a new future manifested. A future that experts have claimed belongs to the Chinese. As the red sun rises in the east, a shadow looms over the west. Accentuated by the Western media with reports of tensions mounting between global superpowers. While mainstream media has villainized the Chinese threat to the global hegemony, many an alternative media source has praised the Chinese for fighting what they call the New World Order. But is China fighting this New World Order? Are they forging their own world order? Or is China just another actor on the global stage? Well, hopefully you'll be able to tell me after we examine what the media won't tell us about China. In order to understand what's going on with China right now, we must connect the past to the present. To vastly oversimplify and summarize several millennia of Chinese history, Imperial China was once subject to the dynastic cycle. One dynasty fell and was replaced by another, time after time, with a society and culture shaped by Confucianism, under which moral behavior was celebrated. The philosophy of Confucius served as the basis for creating a functioning society. Upright moral behavior exhibited by both the government and the average citizen provided a sense of order that was enhanced by a person knowing his or her own place in a series of hierarchical relationships and acting accordingly. Between government and society, and even between individual family members, particularly between father and son, Confucianism placed emphasis on mutual respect. And if this principle was effectively implemented within the home or even between the emperor and his country, then society would be successful. And for a time, China was successful as a leading civilization and dominant global economic superpower. Well, until British imperialism rocked China. Which brings us to the 19th century, a century that brought about political and social change globally. Western merchants set their sights on China, and what made China such a desirable trade partner was its trade range, innovation, production capabilities, and large commercial ships. However, China wasn't too keen on the Western sphere of influence, and they were wary of these foreign merchants. Thus, they limited trade to certain ports. And traders weren't allowed to step foot in the empire unless in the designated area. All these rules fueled resentment in the barren hearts of those who saw great potential for profit doing trade deals with China. More specifically, it fueled resentment within a certain empire who desperately needed those trade deals to remedy the financial burden of starting all those pesky wars. So Great Britain got a little creative. Well, that's putting it kindly. They started what we now know as the Opium Wars with China, during which the British grew poppies in India, turned those poppies into opium, and sold that opium to the Chinese to both profit and get the Chinese addicted to opium so they would buy more. Opium was illegal in China during that time, but that didn't stop shady merchants from selling those drugs on the black market. China responded by attempting to completely remove the opium from their country by burning it, but that didn't really work, so eventually war broke out, and it didn't end so well for the Chinese. Wait, a government promoting illegal trade and flooding a society with addictive drugs? All to profit and subvert a threat to the empire? Who's ever heard of such a thing? If we examine history as a whole, we'd notice several patterns emerge, one of which being the strong targeting perceived weakness, especially if that weakness possesses something the strong desires. Doesn't matter if we're talking Rome, Japan, or Great Britain as blanket statement imperialists. To rule the world, or at least attempt to, aggressive strength must be exerted. And in the great jungle of greed, bloodlust, and intoxicating power trips, there are predators, and there are prey. China's century of shame and humiliation began with the Opium Wars, but things were about to get a whole lot worse before they got better. The aftermath of the Opium Wars resulted in more trade ports opening for foreigners and merchants gaining rights to travel within China, which is how the infamous Rothschild banking family secured their spot there, along with the notorious Rockefeller family with their Standard Oil business. Both families now are heralded as philanthropists. A fragmented and war-torn country meant the spoils of war were up for grabs. During the Boxer Rebellion at the turn of the century, China attempted once more to get the foreign invaders out of their country. The once united China dissolved into regions that became states ruled by warlords. And the tried and true divide-and-conquer tactics of the enemy became the kiss of death for the ancient imperial dynasty and gave way to what we now know as the modern communist state. Following the Boxer Rebellion, the former economic powerhouse went into a period of decline, with a suffering peasant class and no clear leadership, creating the perfect opportunity for a new order to emerge. At odds with each other were the nationalist and communist parties of China. The communist side was funded largely by the same folks who funded the Bolshevik Revolution, all sides of the world wars, and even the wars taking place today. But while the entire world was at war during the 20th century, not only was China battling it out with invading Japanese imperialists, but the nationalist and communist parties were feuding amongst themselves too, not trusting each other while fighting their common enemy. A changing of the guard occurred during the 6,000-mile trek of Chinese communists that secured them as the governing system and Mao Zedong as their leader. This was known as the Long March, which harnessed the frustration and enthusiasm of young Chinese to accomplish their goals and push their agenda, the agenda of which was driving imperialism out of China. The People's Republic of China has been ruled by the Communist Party since 1949. Communism is a socioeconomic structure and political ideology that promotes the establishment of an egalitarian, classless, and stateless society, all based on common ownership. And essentially, there is no private property under communism. One of the first things Mao did was take the farms of the wealthy farmers and redistributed that land for communal farming, in what was known as the Great Leap Forward. But unfortunately, it was a great leap forward into famine, as many millions of Chinese peasants starved to death as a result. Despite all that, Mao is still praised by the Chinese government for reunifying China, modernizing the country, and lifting millions out of poverty, though millions suffered and died. What rarely ever gets mentioned is who Mao really was and with whom he was connected. Hold on to your butts, things are about to get interesting. Remember how we touched on the Opium Wars? A company by the name of Russell & Company was the largest American trading house in China before, during, and after the Opium Wars. The founder was a man by the name of Samuel Russell, cousin of William Russell, an infamous founder of Skull and Bones at Yale University, a secret society and fraternity whose skeletal hand has extended to every corner of the world to recruit global leaders. In 1903, Yale established a number of schools and hospitals throughout China. And guess who was a student there? Kami Mao. Coincidence? Well, let's see if we can establish a pattern of bonesmen in connection with communist China. George H.W. Bush, who comes from a banking family who funded the rise of the Nazi Party in Germany, by the way, followed the family tradition and was a bonesman at Yale. He was also the first U.S. diplomat to the People's Republic of China in 1973. Meanwhile, Yale in China was managed by bonesman Reuben Holden, husband of Bush's cousin. When Bush returned home, he was appointed as head of the CIA, later becoming president of the United States, securing his own Bush dynasty. If you think about it, wherever the bonesmen go, wherever they target, death follows. The Gulf War, the War on Terrorism, the War in Afghanistan, just to name a few bonesmen endeavors. The CIA has been in China for quite some time, and over the course of decades, has repeatedly stated that China's growing economy is a threat to the United States. After Mao's death, a struggle for power occurred, but ultimately a leader who was friendly with the West was installed and established diplomatic relations with the United States in 1978. While Mao ensured China's sovereignty by enforcing an autocratic socialist system, those who ruled after him focused on market-oriented economic development. China's open-door policy opened the country to foreign investors, which allowed a sprinkling of capitalism to dust over the communist country. And it's important to remember that despite that dusting of capitalism, the governing body was still communist.
Too good not to play. We'll probably continue that when we come back. Stick around. More right after this break.
homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you. And your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 keep it today.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers, have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
Hi, folks. CBD is the home run hitter for health right now. Why, you ask? Because of what it does for the body. Unfortunately, I can't tell you all about the benefit. You know, there's reasons. Do your due diligence and log on to AncientLifeOil.com. That's AncientLifeOil.com. Ancient Life Oil uses organic ingredients and is blended in coconut oil for...
It's the good life. Full of fun seems to be the ideal. Yes, the good life lets you hide all the sadness you feel. You won't really fall in love, 'cause you can't take the chance. So be honest with yourself, don't try to fake romance. It's the good life to be free and explore the unknown. Like the heartaches when you learn you must face them alone. Please remember, I still want you, and in case you wonder why, well, just wake up, kiss that good life goodbye.
Welcome back. So I want to conclude this, but I'm going to ask you, hey, intrepid researcher friends, what is your favorite resource on this subject matter, this discussion? You know, Anthony Sutton, the late great Anthony Sutton, did a good job of exposing these connections, you know, the Mao-Yale connection. Who knew that Mao was a Yale alum, probably a Skull and Bonesman himself? And, you know, so obviously you have the British East India Company, goes back to about the 1620s. Dutch East India Company, British East India Company, and the Opium Wars, so-called, et cetera, et cetera. I'm curious what your favorite resource on that storyline is. If there's I know of a few, you know, articles that we can probably throw in the archive, but I want to I want to continue with this video and play it to its conclusion, what the media won't tell you about China. And it's really, you know, she's done a lot of these videos, what the media won't tell you about China, Russia, Syria, etc., Israel. It's all the same story, basically. And again, you get this picture of forces colluding and conspiring behind the scenes. So anyway, we'll play a couple more minutes of that in this segment and to its conclusion in the next segment, and take calls after that. So go ahead, please.
As exemplified in 1979, when China imposed its one-child policy on the basis of population control. In the summer of 1989, the West got a full view of communism at work. During the Tiananmen Square massacre of 1989, the global rift between the East and the West was reignited. In a very public changing of the guard occurred. China's general secretary was forced to resign in 1987, and demonstrators gathered in the square for weeks. Western journalists were also conveniently present, and they documented this alleged massacre with a series of photographs and witness accounts, stating that the party leaders sent their troops to open fire on protesters. The Western media reported these unarmed protesters were promoting democracy and were massacred because of it, though the official death toll was never released. Does that sound like a recent series of protests? A certain spring in Arabia, maybe? The Chinese government had a very different recollection of events, citing armed protesters who were voicing frustration over the economy, not begging for democracy, and they were attacking the military presence in the surrounding area. The Chinese government stated that the majority of the casualties were soldiers, not civilians. Years later, CBS News correspondent Richard Roth, who was on the scene at Tiananmen Square in 1989, said, "We saw no bodies, injured people, ambulances, or medical personnel. In short, nothing to even suggest, let alone prove, that a massacre had recently occurred in that place." So what actually happened during this attempt of political revolution at Tiananmen Square? Did a massacre occur? Or did students led by CIA-trained agent provocateurs protest for weeks, their frustration eventually turning violent? Regardless of what actually happened there, the effects were the same. The violence portrayed and relayed on the global stage drew international outcry. Some of the top Communist Party leaders were forced to step down. Freedom of press and freedom of speech was even more suppressed than before. Within a year, the Soviet Union fell, and the world waited for China's communist regime to fall too. Only it didn't. Between Tiananmen Square and now, China became the second largest economy in the world, being the world's largest manufacturer and exporter of goods. According to one study, imports from China by Walmart, the world's largest retailer and biggest importer, eliminated or displaced over 400,000 jobs in the United States between 2001 and 2013. As of 2018, China owns over $1 trillion of U.S. debt, though the Federal Reserve owns double that, making the Federal Reserve the largest creditor in the world. Though recently there's been a trend of China unloading its bonds. Maybe they decided that US debt was a bad investment. The alternative media has praised China for standing up to the global world order by asserting itself on trade deals and establishing itself as a global force in investments, while simultaneously shielding their population from outside influence, like banning Justin Bieber from China, censoring weaponized pornography, and establishing...
Banning Justin Bieber? Oh my goodness. Stick around, we'll be right back with the conclusion after this short break.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
My name is Don Wiskin, and at 42 years old, I suffered a massive heart attack, lost 35% of my heart to damaged tissue, and was supposed to spend the rest of my life on disability. What did I do? I took Extendivite, a garlic and cayenne mix of seven herbs which rebuilt my heart and gave me back my life. For over 17 years now, I have made this formula available to you so you don't have to suffer the same thing I did. Clean your blocked arteries and strengthen your heart and boost your natural immune system. I'm 60 years old now and I still work every day. To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Do you or a loved one suffer migraine headaches? Listen to what scientist Kurt Hendricks has to say.
35 million people in the United States suffer with debilitating migraines. If you or a loved one are one of them, you need to know about MigRelief. Hi, I'm Kurt Hendricks, the scientist that formulated and patented the MigRelief migraine formula. MigRelief is a non-prescription dietary supplement recommended by neurologists, pharmacists, and pediatricians to address nutritional deficiencies in both adults and children over 2 with migraines. Try MigRelief for 3 months and see the powerful difference it can make in your life or get your money back, no questions asked. Go to MIG911.com or call 800-MIG-7354. You can change your life today.
So if you suffer from migraines, don't wait. Call 800-MIG-7354. That's 800-MIG-7354 or visit MIG911.com.
Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and the new app, Koshertify, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
Welcome back. As you listen to this, hopefully you remember those words. Remember, I quote from the Hidden Persuaders all the time. The definitive voice on this discussion, chapter 19, the engineered yes. Mr. Bernays has gotten his views. Edward Bernays, Sigmund Freud's nephew. Mr. Bernays has gotten his views published in the Annals of the American Academy of Political and Social Science, where he pointed out that, quote, newsworthy events involving people usually do not happen by accident. They are planned deliberately to accomplish a purpose, to influence ideas and actions. And so, you know, when you think of the events like Tiananmen Square, for example, people, the naive, you know, that hear, oh, the New World Order crowd, you know, these elitists are, they're quivering, they're running scared. Anybody that believes that and doesn't see that things have been proceeding precisely according to plan with very nuanced, you know, challenges and things is, I guess, just not paying attention, you know, with all of the technocrats, you know, the Peter Thiels, and, you know, so forth. Again, all of the names that have been mentioned, you know, in the clip that we played of Aaron and Melissa Dykes, technologists, technocrats, and other bad guy extraordinaires, the Palantir contingent over in Saudi Arabia. If you don't see all of that coming together precisely in the fashion that bad guys have envisioned, or envisaged is their word, then you're not paying attention. So anyway, to conclude just the last few minutes, just under 4 minutes of the video, What the Media Won't Tell You About China. Go ahead, please.
13. As of 2018, China owns over $1 trillion of U.S. debt, though the Federal Reserve owns double that, making the Federal Reserve the largest creditor in the world. Though recently there's been a trend of China unloading its bonds. Maybe they decided that U.S. debt was a bad investment. The alternative media has praised China for standing up to the global world order by asserting itself on trade deals and establishing itself as a global force in investments, while simultaneously shielding their population from outside influence, like banning Justin Bieber from China, censoring weaponized pornography, and establishing re-education camps for Muslim extremists. But the mainstream media paints a very dystopian portrait of China, one of rampant internet censorship, worrisome social credit scores like that of the Black Mirror show, along with an alarming amount of cameras and artificial intelligence for its surveillance state, tough crackdowns on public dissidents against the authoritarian government. Not to mention a massive DNA biobank with data on any and every Chinese citizen perceived as a threat, a general lack of regard for human life, and a growing sense of hostility between China and the West, as suggested by recent events like trade wars, tariffs, rampant espionage, as well as sonic attacks on U.S. diplomats that mirror the attacks that occurred in Cuba of last year. As I'm always saying on this channel, while it's interesting to analyze news coverage across mainstream and alternative media, I'm more interested in the information that's being suppressed rather than propagated. Recently, China announced its petroyuan to rival the petrodollar. While the petrodollar is the standard currency for oil-related business globally, the actual U.S. Federal Reserve dollar is a tangible representation of all the debt the U.S. has incurred as a country, backed by our confidence to exchange it for goods and services. However, China's petroyuan is backed in gold. China has established trading relationships with its allies like Russia and the supplier of endless oil, Iran, which I am sure British Petroleum is pretty salty about, as they were in Iran for some time, but got the boot. The implications of this petroyuan could have detrimental effects on the U.S. economy. And the multifaceted threat of a gold-backed petroyuan was made even more complicated with the proposed European pipeline. One proposed pipeline being U.S.-backed and the other Russian-backed. Both of the pipelines running straight through war-torn Syria, where foreign infiltrators are currently battling it out. Could an oil war be one of the motives for destabilizing Syria, with the continued war on terrorism serving as the never-ending excuse? If we look to the past, Saddam Hussein proposed selling Iraqi oil in euros instead of the petrodollar in 2000. And years later, Iraq was invaded on the false pretense of weapons of mass destruction. Gaddafi proposed selling Libyan oil in gold-backed dinars and encouraged others to do the same. And of course, he was overthrown and murdered in the street shortly thereafter. So, looking to the future, how will China fare in their gold-driven monetary revolution? Will they entice other countries to join in their parade away from the dollar? Or will they suffer the same fate as those who attempted before them? What do you think, internet friends? Is China fighting the New World Order by taking a swing at the Federal Reserve? Is China forging their own world order, separate from the pack? Or is China a testing ground for the brave new world of 1984, with an infinite amount of distractions and surveillance cameras? Let me know. I always look forward to your comments. Thank you so much for watching, subscribing, and supporting my channel on Patreon. Bye!
Pretty darn good stuff. Very informative. And, you know, we're left to answer the question for ourselves, or the questions, the three questions. So that's a lot of information and a very different picture, obviously, as she points out, what the media won't tell you about China. The video title kind of says it all. That's a very different picture than, I mean, entirely different. I wouldn't even say 180 degrees. I mean, it's like, you know, different. It's just worlds apart from the perspective that we get. But we should be able to reason through these things on our own and discuss what is happening to try to make sense of it all and have intelligent discourse, intelligent civil discourse over these kinds of things, and get to the bottom of it and inform our fellow Americans, those who don't see these things happening, but they are happening. And in hopes of, I don't know, I guess in hopes of a brighter tomorrow for posterity's sake. We are caught up in an instant gratification society that is seemingly little troubled by these issues. But, you know, again, I mean, you see what's happening, and it's hard to ignore the reality of we are on the precipice of being directly confronted with these issues. And bad guys are diabolically brilliant in the way that this information and reality essentially is being hidden from the masses until the moment that it's too late, as we keep failing forward. So hopefully that makes sense, and there's more to say on that. But let's go to the phones real quick and grab Renee in North Carolina. Renee, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Well, you know, I loved that clip. I mean, you know, that's like, that was the direction things used to talk about in the old days. Too many people have gotten sidetracked by what the little brown people in Mexico are doing, or the black people, or the women. Or they say, yeah, the Jews are part of the problem, but they're only part of the problem, okay? The thing is, this was real, some history that really, you know, I think Orwell told the truth. And I also think nothing is as it appears. The stuff that they feed us is like, is complete BS. And I tell you what, that was one of the most informative clips I have ever heard. That girl is good.
Yeah.
I am looking into all her series. That's my weekend project. You know, what is it? What the media never told you about, and it'll be like China, Syria, blah, 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 all down the line.
Yeah, yeah. She has a series of them, and they're all fantastic.
Oh, I tell you what, because I wouldn't have found out about this series unless, you know, I'd heard it today. But that girl is on it, okay? She is good. And so I mean, when I was listening to that, I said, I have to call in Dale Chris. How fabulous. And like I say, I think Aaron and Melissa Dykes do a fabulous job, too. I think they're still on the right track. But too many people are sidetracked into scapegoating, which, you know, because we tend to want to kick down at those less powerful because they are less able to strike back. Okay?
Yeah.
And so the thing is, and like I say, the history on that, I mean, I could listen to that again so I could absorb it all. So I just had to tell you, I loved it.
I recommend it. I think that we all should. She's done 11 so far. She has a playlist that she's titled What the Media Won't Tell You, and they're almost all countries except for the flu, What the Media Won't Tell You About the Flu. But aside from that, the other 10 are about they're What the Media Won't Tell You About Venezuela, Syria, Israel, Qatar, North Korea, Afghanistan, Saudi Arabia, USA, Iran, which I think is a particularly brilliant one, and China, of course, this one, which is also particularly brilliant. So those are the 11, and I highly recommend them all. I mean, they're fantastic. So I'll embed that playlist and playlist of the videos, the YouTube videos that I mentioned in today's archive. But I agree.
Know,
brilliant.
It was terrific. I mean, I'm really glad I know about this now. And so, and you know about the what's going on currently, you know, I'm glad it looks like people are starting to kind of wake up. actually, what's been going on is a part of our history. They took the Indian children away from the Indians to get the Indian out of them. They put them in boarding schools. So they took their children away. They took the blacks' children away and sold them at slave markets, okay? You know, I saw that one of these guys, Japanese movie star guy, said, hey, at least when they locked us up in the internment camps, they at least didn't take us from our parents, okay? The thing is, this that's going on, and from what I understand, one judge, one article is really hacked, okay? Because he found out some of these children, they're not sure how they can ever put them back together. You know, like he said, you know, when they take your wallet at the jail, they give you a receipt. They didn't give these people so much as a piece of paper receipt for their kid, okay? I'm not sure. Some of these kids have been stolen and those families may never put back together. And one thing I heard is that applies where they're going to stop doing it now. But it does not mean they're going to give the other 2,300 they already took back. This is going to be a giant, massive nightmare. And you have to realize with the new technology today, people all over the world are seeing what is going on here. They watch the United States close because, you know, you said that saying before. What is it about the elephants? When the elephants walk the grass, you know, I can't remember
the old Swahili proverb, when the elephants fight or struggle, the grass suffers.
Well, that's just it. So that's why all these other countries are always, these people watch the United States close. I don't know if you've ever done this, but some of the smartest people who know what's going on. I remember New York taxi drivers. I remember talking to them and stuff when I was in New York. I'm going, damn, these people are more aware because they have to watch. Because right. Like that saying goes, they know whatever the United States does, their life is liable to be impacted in a negative fashion. So I found them off. I was, damn, these taxi drivers that are foreigners, they know more what's going on than American people.
Yep.
So I just wanted to call and let you know that that was just fabulous. You know, maybe you should play some of the other country ones.
Yeah, you know? Well, we've played the Iran clip, which, again, I think, you know, is a companion with James Corbett's How and Why Big Oil Conquered the World. You watch that and you watch Really Graceful's What the Media Won't Tell You About Iran. And I think that's a fantastic compendium. I mean, if you want to be a foreign policy expert to the envy of John Bolton, watch those three videos and, you know, you pretty much understand what's going on.
Well, thank you, Chris. Those were fabulous, and I just had to let you know, okay? Thank you.
Thank you, Renee. Appreciate it. As always, back to the phones we go. Larkin, Texas, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Popular opinion. Slavery just flat never went away. And then to correct the record of yesterday, that was Sloan Wilson who wrote the fictional novel entitled The Man in the Gray Flannel Suit. And of course, that was linked to the book by Walter White called The Organization Man. But if the listeners would peruse the extended notes and references outside reading, for instance, just at the Wikipedia entries, I think they'd find a wealth of material. You know, C. Wright Mills commented, for instance, on The Organization Man in his day.
Yeah.
Also, I want to thank you for keeping Vance Packard's work, The Hidden Persuaders, alive. And FYI to you, you know who else used to mention his name quite a bit in her writings was Julie Beal, B-E-A-L. Julie Beal was interviewed twice by James Corbett, the Corbett Report. So that can be found on YouTube or at his
That's pretty website. Awesome. I didn't know that. Very cool.
Now, to find Julie Beal's work, because to my recollection, she's not blogging anymore. You know, she's a mother who lives in Wales, and her name is spelled. Her name is Julie Beal, B as in boy, E-A-L.
Yeah.
But to find her work, you have to go to archive.org into their Wayback Machine, and then simply type in getmindsmart.com, and they'll find all her archived material from that now defunct website there. But the other thing that I think is particularly interesting about her work is the work that she did on the so-called Global Happiness Report. And she reported on the very first one that was published. So another general reminder to the listeners that since slavery really never has died. It never went away. It just assumed new forms, guises, permutations. They incentivize the slaves so that they will produce the greatest amount of work. Now, if you're going to run a slave plantation, you want productive workers, if you think of it strictly as a business model.
Right, or a closed-loop system of cattle basically self-managing to some extent.
Exactly. And the world that's coming into view, I think, was described at the Macy conferences post-World War II. You know, people might want to look that up, M-A-C-Y, the Macy conferences, and particularly the work of Norbert Wiener, because his theory of cybernetics it was a hot topic and it was very fashionable among academics of that day. Remember, his book popularized his theory as one to be adopted across every field of human endeavor, across all industries. Yep. And that was published in 1954, and the listeners can read this on the internet. It's a short read, or they can read a synopsis.
The human use of human beings. Sorry, go ahead.
No, you got it right. The human use of human beings, subtitled Cybernetics and Society. This is the marriage of man and machine. And in truth, this slave system that's coming into view, what I term techno-slavery, can only work with the widespread participation of people in so-called cybernetic feedback loops. In other words, the marriage of man and machine cannot happen unless man provides his voluntary participation.
Yep.
And that's very interesting that we've heard of voluntarism or the voluntarist with a Y society that
so-called.
A lot of anarchists and libertarians describe. But the communitarians described volunteerism. In other words, you volunteer into your servitude, your slavery, willingly and even enthusiastically. And this is what I think Aldous Huxley spoke about at Berkeley in 1962.
Exactly.
The enthusiastic embracing of your own enslavement.
Yep.
So that's what I have for you today. Keep up the good work.
Thank you. As always, I appreciate it very much. I didn't know that Julie Beal, I think maybe I did somewhere in the back of my mind, but I'm you know, the Julie Beal, James Corbett interview, I'm sure is great. Was it just the one back in 2012? Do you know?
There was two, actually.
Okay.
Two of those. And she may have been, her and Nikki were communicating for a time. And, but I mean, she was a tremendous researcher. And she's a researcher like Robin Eubanks and Nikki and her daughter and Vicki Davis. I mean, these women are just indefatigable and just wonderful researchers.
Yeah. Agreed. Yep.
And we owe a tremendous debt to these kind of people, you know, because let's face it, in this frenetically paced world, tech-saturated world, this media-saturated world that we live in, I mean, few have the time to devote to actually drill down and grasp a picture that, the Christians, for instance, you know, they only want to see society from the context of the readings of the Bible.
Right.
But then there are the pragmatists in the world, you know, people who are not religionist, that want to see how it is that so many people have been inculcated into enslaving themselves and everyone else.
In a very compartmentalized fashion, I would say, you know, to the Christian or so-called who would, fall into that bucket that you're describing, you read Paul and the way the Apostle Paul and the way that he was basically connecting the news of the day with the words of Jesus, is very provocative. So, you know, we need to break out of that compartmentalization and that mind control, basically that social engineering.
I submit that many of these people in America, Christians, religionists or not, they're enthusiastic, active participants in organized crime, but do not know.
Well, we all are, aren't we? We've had that conversation. Yeah.
I mean, in a sense, we are.
And, you know, once a person really sees what's happening, it's hard not to step back and just ask, throw your hands in the air and ask, what can I do? What can I do that is a legitimate, honest pursuit these days? Because you're almost conscripted to evil no matter what you choose.
Well, you're touched by the slave script. We're all touched by the slave script, number one. But I'll just say, just a quick example, Chris. I used to be a chef and a caterer and a restaurateur until 1994. And I did fairly well for myself. I consumed everything having to do with food. I thought it was the most noble thing on the planet to be engaged in.
And all those years I was
involved in organized crime and knew it and could not escape.
Isn't that something? Unbelievable.
Yes.
Exactly. That'll do it for today's broadcast. I would include Ray Kurzweil and Jaron Lanier, as companion discussions. Kurzweil's You're Not a Gadget, or Lanier's You're Not a Gadget, and Kurzweil's Age of Spiritual Machines. That'll do it for today. Take care. God bless. We'll catch you on the other side.
You've probably heard about all the great benefits of goat milk soap. But did you know? Some companies take shortcuts. At Old New England Soap, we make our organic goat's milk soap using 36% goat's milk. That's 17% more than most others. Our bars are larger, so they last longer, producing lots of lather packed with vitamins. And our soap is a natural moisturizer that smooths dry and damaged skin. Order online at oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. You've tried the rest. Now try the best. Oldnesoap.com.
Water-based soaps on supermarket shelves use harsh chemical acids to break down dead skin cells. And that's just not good for you. At Old New England Soap, our soaps are made without chemical ingredients, contain no alcohol or petroleum products, and use 85% organic materials and carry the USDA's organic certification. Try some today. Go to oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. Oldnesoap.com.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.